Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scribner with the Living Savior Ministries. This teaching is going to be on the believer's authority. Now, we will be teaching you the authority of the believer in Christ. If you're a Christian, you can do great and mighty things that most of us don't know. It took me a long time to learn this. Now, at the end of this teaching, there will be a website and a phone number where you can get these teachings in their entirety, and they will be free and postpaid. I hope you enjoy the teaching.
When you sin, in other words, if you're over here in God's camp, if right over here is God's camp, and this is where all the abundant life and everything is, and out there is the world, and that's where sin, sickness, disease, and everything else is, if you stay over here and walk holy before God and stay in obedience to His Word underneath His protective umbrella, and you're not walking in any kind of sin, can the devil get in here to afflict you?
No.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. 1 John 5:18 says that when you do not sin, you keep yourself holy in the Lord's presence, Satan cannot touch you. But what if you walk out here in the world? Say, well, I'm going to go out here and see how it is over here. Mm-hmm. Now, then, when you walk out here where the enemy is, where there's sickness, disease, killing, and destroying, and all this stuff, and you're out here walking in His kingdom, now then, when you sin, what's He going to do to you? He's going to get you. Yeah, because He knows, in other words, just think, if you were in the Army, and you're over here in the U.S. Air Force, or U.S. Army, or U.S. Marines, and you're over here with all these guys, and you got all these earthly weapons and everything else, and you're all protected, and you got a tank, and all of a sudden you say, well, I'm a tank driver, so I'm going to drive my tank out here. So you drive your tank, which has got all this armor plating, you drive right out there in the middle of the armed forces. And all they've got is little 50 caliber machine guns and the little rifles and everything. As long as you stay in that tank with 6-inch armor plate on it, you can run through his camp pretty safe, can't you? What if you say, well, I'm going to get out and see what he looks like out here, and you get up out of that armored tank and you step outside. Now then, all he's got is a 45. What can he do to you, brother? You had it, hadn't you? He puts that 45 between your eyes and he blows your head off. He can kill you. That's what we do as Christians when we step outside of that armament of that tank, when we step out and step into the devil's world and start sinning with him. You might step out there and the devil will walk up to you and say, but you know, you're a company, you're a businessman, you know, won't you just take that little bribe under the table? Just, it's only $1,000. Nobody will ever know. That ain't truth, is it? No, you just put a chink in your armor when you reached out and took that money, and now then the devil has legal right to you. You've just sinned against God. And so the devil's going to get you. When the Lord told you to put on all of the armor, He told you to walk in holiness, righteousness, peace, and truth, and everything. That's what He meant, wasn't it? When you walk holy before God, you don't open none of these doors to the demonic world. And let me tell you, it pays great dividends to walk holy before God. Great dividends. The devil can't make you sick. He can't afflict you. And then you'll be just like that guy the other day. I happened to watch a little news when we first went to war in the Middle East, and a guy was driving a tank. And he said, we drove up over the hill, and he said there was a bunch of enemy that came against us. And he said, they had guns. And, of course, these guys in a tank. And he said, they started shooting at us with their rifles. He said, what did you do to them? He said, simple. We just killed them. That's how simply we just killed them. I mean, here they are in an armor-plated tank, and these guys step out in front of them. They got a great big gun, machine guns and everything else all over this thing. And these guys step out there with a little dinky rifle and start shooting at a tank. We know they're the enemy. I mean, these guys in this tank's totally safe. What'd you do? Well, do you think he's going to say, we got out and tried to catch them by hand? No, he said, we just killed them. We just blowed them away. I mean, that's what you do. I mean, when you're in the military, you're over there, it's either your life or their life. I don't know about you, but I was in Vietnam, and I wasn't going to give my life for none of those people. I mean, although I loved them people, I was sent over there by my government to fight a war. And I was going to go over there fully with the intention of coming back. And that's what people did not understand. Is there anybody here that in this room today that was in Vietnam? One man. One man. If you were in Vietnam, you saw some stuff. I mean, there was people. I mean, you never knew who your enemy was over there. I mean, you didn't know. I mean, you could have a woman in a rice paddy planting rice. And she could have a submachine gun strapped between her legs. And she could be out there planting rice. and 30, 40, 50 GIs, he's just out there down in that water planting that rice and everything, and all boat, nobody ever thinks nothing about that little woman. And all of a sudden, everybody gets by. She sews that dress up, pulls that thing up, and she kills every one of them. And then whenever one of them got killed, the news would say, and these bunch of GIs killed a little woman right out in the rice paddy. Yeah, you killed her because she was the enemy. People just didn't know. And the news didn't do us no justice over there either, I'll say that. But anyway, that's the way war is. That's the way the devil fights. But that's the way he fights with you today. You can be walking totally holy before God, and you walk into his camp and you make one little mistake and one little sin, and he immediately attacks you or your spouse or your children. And we have never put it together in the church that sin is what opens the door to the devil. And then you tell somebody, well, you're sick, so you're sinning. Well, I don't sin. But I can tell you about a man that's come to this church. This man was a man of God that 2.5 years ago, that man was down with a back injury. And he was down on his back for a year flat prostrate. And he was a man of God. And then he was up walking a little for another year. And then when he got to where he could get around, after about a year, he happened to get two of my tapes called the Palestine 1 and 2. Some of you may have heard those two stories, those two tapes. There's 2 hours and 45 minutes worth of teaching on those two tapes. When he and his wife and another man was going to West Texas, on the way out there, he had listened to all 2 hours and 45 minutes worth. At the end, he says, God, everything that man said on those tapes is your word. He said, if all that's true, why have I been sick the last 2 years and down in my back? And he said, God spoke to him and said, because of your unbelief. He said, Lord, I repent. And instantly, driving along right there in the car, he was instantly healed. That's all he had to say. I repent. First time I told the story, he said, I repent, and Lord, I ask you to heal me. And I told him, he was sitting right over here in a chair that day, and he stood up and said, no, Thurman, that's not true. I said, well, how did it work? He said, I just said, God, I repent of my sin and my unbelief. And he said, that's all I had to say, and he instantly healed me right there. Will unbelief keep you from getting healed? Yes, it will. I mean, people say, but I believe. Oh, you do? You just went to the doctor? The doctor said, that pain you have in your chest, we just know you're going to need a bypass of some kind of surgery. In fact, we already went in there and done a check on you, and we see you got two arteries partially plugged and one 90% plugged, and if you don't have open heart surgery, you could die any time. You're going to find out who you believe. Right there, you're going to find out. And you know, 999.9% of the Christians that get that kind of report, who are they going to believe? The doctor. You tell them, trust God? But Thurman, you're crazy. Most preachers will tell me, you mean to tell me you're going to say God can heal me? I'm going to say, yeah, God can do anything. He's going to do anything you can believe him for. If you don't believe he can do that, then go ahead and let them doctors cut you open and pay $150,000 and then be back in 6, 8 months or a year and have it done again. If you don't learn where it's coming from and how to walk in faith, what faith is, the enemy will do that to you again and again and again until he kills you. But this book is full of promises. And you're going to find out today that in the church, unbelief is rampant. Unbelief is rampant. We don't believe the promises of this book. Now then, in America today, in the workplace or anywhere else, you start just talking about Jesus, and most of them will tell you can't do that. Can't do that. Just think. Can you imagine this? I mean, this is hard for people to believe. Can you imagine a man that prays with his men every morning, asks the Lord to protect them from the evil one, protect them from physical harm, has a perfect record for 2 years with a group of 35 men that's working in the maintenance field and no injuries, no accidents, no nothing, and praying for them every day. And then when I pray for other people in the workplace, God would have done awesome miracles. And the last one he did in May a year ago in that place was a woman fell into a big oven and burned all the skin off the bottom of her arm when she fell in this big oven. And I run up and everybody's trying to doctor her. It's kind of like me and Ed a while ago. When here I am trying to doctor this machine, and Ed thinks of the right thing. He said, well, Thurman, why don't you just pray? See, isn't that amazing? Well, that's what everybody was doing that day. They were all trying to doctor her, and I ran up and I prayed. Because just like back there, after Ed said pray, me and him prayed, in a few minutes we found the problem. It's amazing. But with her, I just run up and quoted Isaiah 53:4, that Jesus bore her pain so she wouldn't have to bear it. And then I quoted Mark 16:18, that says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And then I said with my mouth, I guarantee, ma'am, you will get a supernatural healing from the King. Now then, Mark 11:23 says, if I speak, whatever I say, I will have. Whatever I say, if I say it in faith. And that woman, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon when she got burned, within 30 minutes she had no pain in that arm, although she's got this humongous blister all over the bottom of this arm. And everybody gets to see it all evening. She goes ahead and serves the evening meal in the cafeteria where everybody can see this big old burn. And many people tried to get her to go to the doctor, and she would not go. She got home that night after work. Her husband saw this thing. He tried to take her to emergency. She refused to go because it didn't hurt. She said, no, if it bothers me, we'll go in the morning. She woke up the next morning, and when she did, her arm looked just like mine does. Amen. Is that an awesome Jesus, brother? Amen. Now then, you got to realize that God is a God of faith. Now, by allowing that blister to stay there all afternoon long, everybody got to see it. And the next morning when they come in, or the next afternoon when she came in, when they looked at her arm, and there's not even a mark, there's no doubt who showed up for that lady, right? I mean, if you get a burn on your arm, you've ever had a burn anyway, young lady, in a kitchen or whatever, it didn't heal in about 12 hours, did it? No. Most burns do not. Is it a possibility to get it healed in 12 hours? Yes, it is. How do we get it done? Instead of speaking, I am burned, and telling all your friends, look at my bad burn, I guess it'll take 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 weeks for this to heal, you should start confessing God's Word, right? Go to a prayer mate of some kind, prayer partner, and ask them to agree in prayer with you, Lord, that you'll do a supernatural healing on my finger, that I have no pain because you bore my pain because you said that in Isaiah 53:4. And then, Lord, thank you for completely healing my finger and doing it supernaturally in Jesus' name.
We'll have to stop the teaching right there today, but we will take up right there tomorrow. We hope you will join us again tomorrow for the continuation of the teaching on the believer's authority. Now, if you'd like to have this teaching in its entirety, we would be happy to send it to you free and postpaid if you will call this phone number, 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or if you will contact us on the web at www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. We'll be happy to send you these teachings free and postpaid. I hope you've enjoyed and will continue to enjoy the teachings on the believer's authority. Remember, they're free and postpaid to those that call.